Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's www.outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, Radio Havana Cuba, Russia's Sputnik Radio, and NHK Japan. We'll begin with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, a brief roundup of COVID news from across the globe. A leading German doctor says that a second COVID wave is underway in her country. Meanwhile, between 20,000 and 1 million Germans protested COVID restrictions in Berlin last week, receiving widespread criticism from politicians and health authorities. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
The global death toll from the virus has now surpassed 700,000. That's at least according to numbers from Johns Hopkins University. Australia has reported 15 deaths from COVID-19, all of them in Victoria State. It's the highest daily fatality toll there so far, while Ukraine recorded a record daily jump of almost 1,300 infections. Numbers there have been going up since authorities eased lockdown restrictions. U.S. Health Chief Alex Azar is due to visit Taiwan to discuss strategies for fighting the virus. China considers Taiwan a renegade province and has lodged an official complaint with Washington over the trip. Meanwhile, in Great Britain, researchers are warning of a second coronavirus wave twice as bad as the initial outbreak if schools reopen in the coming weeks. While some regions stopped easing lockdowns after a spike in new infections, well, that means people now in northern England are having to live with tough new restrictions. And here in Germany, this country is wondering whether it should brace itself for a so-called second wave of COVID-19. Because the head of the German Doctors Union is so alarmed by what she sees, she's now come out and says it's already here in a newspaper interview. Susanne Jona said there was a danger in Germany that it could squander away the success it had achieved so far. There has been a steady uptick in the number of cases in recent weeks, with over 870 new infections counted on Tuesday. While Jona said hospitals were prepared, but still she urges people to stick to social distancing, washing your hands, and wearing a mask. A debate has erupted here in Germany after a big demonstration in the capital on Saturday. What restrictions on the right to public assembly are acceptable in a time of pandemic? Well, thousands of people took to the streets of Berlin protesting against pandemic restrictions, refusing to wear masks, while lawmakers from across the political spectrum lashed out at the protesters for failing to observe the coronavirus rules.
Protesters called it their day of freedom, without masks and without social distancing. According to police, 20,000 people took to Berlin's streets on Saturday to protest against coronavirus restrictions, which they say violate their rights and freedoms. Demonstrators claim there were more than 1 million people. Journalists and camera crews were also targeted. A reporter at German public broadcaster ZDF filmed the chants of "Shame on you" and "Lügenpresse" or "lying press." There was a really diverse mix of people, from the far left to the far right. We met people who were anti-vaxxers, we met people who believe Bill Gates is responsible, then there were people who say there is no corona, then there are people who say the measures aren't proportionate. On Monday, commentators were left asking, can this be even allowed? The debate on how to deal with mass protests during the pandemic is now playing out at federal level. Criticism must always be possible in democracy. In this respect, the attitude of the German government has not changed at all. But the pictures that we had to see at the weekend are unacceptable. If it's foreseeable from the beginning that the requirements will not be met or cannot be met, then the question arises whether such a gathering can be allowed. The effect of the protest on the number of new cases is still unclear, but the number was already ticking up ahead of the weekend, prompting fears that 6 months of efforts to curb COVID-19 could go to waste in the blink of an eye.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. Next, Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba was shocked to hear reports from Washington attempting to link their free medical assistance to human trafficking. At least 212 land and environmental defenders were murdered last year, according to the organization Global Witness. The Supreme Court in Brazil has removed the complaint that prevented Lula da Silva from running in the 2018 election against Bolsonaro. Thousands of Israelis have been protesting against Netanyahu, demanding that he resign. Israel has launched new bombing raids on Gaza, and the U.S. Congress passed an aid package to help Israel develop its surface-to-air missile systems. Palestine has appealed to the European Union to prevent Israel from building hundreds of new settler housing units in the occupied West Bank. Last Saturday, the president of Lebanon said that they would defend their border towns, which were recently bombed by Israel. 2 days ago, much of Beirut was destroyed by a massive explosion, which as of press time is being called an accident. Radio Havana, Cuba.
The Humanistic Solidarity Association St. Lucia, Cuba, expressed alarm Monday on Washington's efforts to criminalize Cuba's medical assistance to the Caribbean. On a press release carried by the St. Lucia Times, the association added its voice to the numerous calls by the international community in condemnation of the egregious and criminal actions by the Trump administration to further undermine the achievements of the Cuban Revolution in the vital arena of free medical assistance to numerous needy countries and their millions of disadvantaged citizens. The association said it was appalled by the administration's efforts to associate Cuba's medical assistance to the Caribbean by linking the thousands of Cuban medical personnel in the Caribbean and Latin American countries with human trafficking.
At least 212 land and environmental defenders were murdered last year. That's the highest number since the group Global Witness began gathering data 8 years ago. Around 40% of those killed were indigenous people. Colombia was the highest country with the death toll of 64 land and environmental defenders. Also high on the list of land and environmental defenders that have been killed over the past several months, the Philippines, Brazil, Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala.
Brazil's Federal Supreme Court has withdrawn former Minister Antonio Palocci's complaint about the legal action against former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, which blocked him from running in the 2018 elections. With a 2-1 vote, the second chamber of the Supreme Court withdrew former Minister Palocci's complaint in response to a request by Lula's defense, which argued a violation of impartiality with the inclusion of this information 6 days before the 2018 elections. Palocci's complaint was included by the federal judge Sergio Moro a few days before the first round of the presidential elections. For the leadership of the Workers' Party and Lula's defense, this is another demonstration of Moro's political purposes, who would become Minister of Justice under the government of the ultra-right-wing Jair Bolsonaro. Thousands protested against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu across Israel, demanding he resign over alleged corruption and a resurgence of coronavirus cases. Protests took place at scores of intersections and bridges where people held banners accusing Netanyahu of failure and calling for his resignation, as well as outside his private residence in the northern town Caesarea. The main event took place outside the Prime Minister's official residence in Jerusalem, where organizers said thousands demanded Netanyahu step down. Demonstrators hoisted Israeli flags and blew loud horns as they marched. Many held posters saying that Prime Minister and Bibi go home, or accused Netanyahu of being out of touch with the public. Israel warplanes have launched new strikes against the positions of the Palestinian resistance movement of Hamas in the central parts of the besieged Gaza Strip. The attacks have targeted west of Deir al-Bah city, a report by RT Arabic said. A military base belonging to Is ad-Din al-Osra Brigade, the military wing of Hamas, has also been hit by three rockets fired from the Israeli warplanes, Israeli media claimed. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed an aid package valued at hundreds of millions of dollars and designated for assistance to the Israeli regime to develop its surface-to-air missile system, SAM. The House made the decision, and the funding will mostly be allocated for Iron Dome, David Sling's, as well as Arrow 3 missile systems, Israeli English language newspaper The Jerusalem Post reported. The Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, has called on Europe to take practical measures to prevent the Israeli regime from advancing its plans to build hundreds of new illegal settler units in the strategically sensitive E1 region of the occupied West Bank. We welcome the letter of protest signed by the European Union representatives and 15 European ambassadors a few days ago against Israel's plans to commence construction in the illegal settlement of Givat Hamatos and possibly the E1 area on the outskirts of the occupied Al-Quds, said Hanan Ashari, member of the PLO's executive committee. Lebanon's President Michael Aoun says his country is ready to defend itself against Israel's acts of aggression, which are in violation of a resolution by the United Nations Security Council a few days after Israel bombed a Lebanese border town. "We are committed to defend ourselves, our land, our water, and our authority. We will not compromise on this matter," the Lebanese president said in a televised address on Saturday. His remarks came 5 days after Israeli forces fired dozens of shells into Lebanon's Kafr Shuva town and the vicinity of the Sheba farms, which Tel Aviv has occupied since the 1967 Six-Day War. Lebanese rescue teams pulled out bodies and hunted for missing people on Wednesday from the wreckage caused by a massive warehouse explosion that sent a devastating blast wave across Beirut, killing at least 135 people. Prime Minister Hassan Diab declared 3 days of mourning from Thursday as early investigations blamed negligence for the explosion at the Beirut port, which has left tens of people missing and injured more than 5,000 others. According to Reuters news agency, up to a quarter of a million people were left without homes fit to live in. Officials said after shockwaves smashed building facades, sucked furniture out into the streets, and shattered windows miles inland. The death toll was expected to rise from the blast, which officials blamed on a huge stockpile of highly explosive material stored for years in unsafe conditions at the port.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's web stream worked well this week at their website radiohc.cu, and their download links are fixed and working great. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. Next, Sputnik Radio. On his show called Going Underground, Afshin Ratansi spoke with Jeffrey Robertson QC, famed human rights defender. They discussed Julian Assange, who remains in prison without a trial, to see if he will be extradited to the U.S., the fear that is intended to keep journalists from revealing war crimes and other state secrets, and the myth of Assange being a Russian asset. Sputnik Radio.
Joining me now from London via Skype is Jeffrey Robertson QC, one of the world's greatest human rights barristers, co-founder of Doughty Street. The future of free speech, free expression and a free press was being decided yet again in a London courtroom. What did you make of the United States trying to have new indictments against Julian Assange of WikiLeaks?
The United States is trying to crush Julian Assange in order to do damage and deter whistleblowers of the future and talking to journalists. So that's the object, and they're doing, to some extent, quite well. They want him in prison for 175 years, the charges they've reached. We can tell how many years he'll get because his source, Chelsea Manning, got 35 years before she was pardoned by President Obama. So I think Julian Assange, if he does get extradited, will get 50 years. And he won't be pardoned by President Trump. That's for sure.
Why at this late stage would they be trying to change the indictments against Assange, maybe even stopping the old ones?
They're not trying to change it. They're trying to add to it. And they brought in a broad conspiracy charge going back to his days as a juvenile hacker in Australia. All the people that he, persons unknown is the phrase they're using, whom he encouraged to send him secrets at WikiLeaks. And of course, in those days, WikiLeaks was rather good because it exposed the Church of Scientology, it exposed corruption, it did a lot of good things. And we're back in his early days, which now the Americans are trying to turn into a vast conspiracy. This may be because they feel the case isn't strong enough. The evidence of persecution is pretty strong because it's been shown that he's his hideaway in the Ecuadorian embassy was bugged by the Americans. But there is Julian Assange, a journalist and publisher, who is locked up in COVID danger in Belmarsh. And he can only talk to his lawyers now for 10 minutes, telephone calls for 10 minutes. And it's difficult to prepare a case. He could have been let out on bail under a kind of house arrest or mansion arrest in the country where electronic shackles would prevent him from leaving. But at least he'd be able to prepare his case with concentration. But that did not appeal. So he's looking at the barrel of a gun, which will provide him with life imprisonment. He'll die in an American supermax if Mike Pompeo and the Americans have their way. And I think it is, as American journalists are now realizing, it is a threat to freedom of speech, because the argument that the Trump White House is putting forward is that he doesn't deserve the First Amendment because he's not an American, he's an Australian, and that it doesn't apply to any journalist working for American papers.
The Guardian newspaper, which partnered up with WikiLeaks, printed an article in the past few days as this hearing was being discussed in London, and the Guardian printed an article saying he's basically a Russian asset. WikiLeaks is a Russian asset, and de facto, I suppose, you, yourself, were defending a Russian asset, not a journalist at all.
That stems, I suppose, from the American concerns about WikiLeaks publishing stuff that they may have obtained from Russian sources, from Russian hackers. But you've got to remember, WikiLeaks had the idea of publishing anything of public interest, and that what they published about the Democrat National Committee showed that there was a lot of jiggery-pokery going on to stop Bernie Sanders getting the nomination. And five members of that committee had to resign. But people are realizing that perhaps if the CIA had secretly slipped him some information about Mr. Putin and his wealth or his involvement in assassination in Britain, then he would have had the integrity to publish that as well. He published Collateral Murder, which was evidence of certainly a human rights crime, the killing of journalists. It was really a case of aerial manslaughter, I suppose.
Joe Biden, the presidential contender, said that WikiLeaks is almost an enemy combatant, seemed to reflect Pompeo.
One valuable law that will come from the Russia report, which didn't find any Russian interference in Brexit, but said that was because MI5 wasn't looking.
Jeffrey Robertson QC, thank you very much.
That interview was by Afshin Ratansi on Sputnik Radio, the current name for the Voice of Russia, available online at rt.com. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Almost all the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support my efforts. We will conclude with NHK World Radio Japan. Thursday was the 75th anniversary of the U.S. dropping an atomic bomb on Hiroshima. The date is always observed in Japan, but attendance was limited because of the pandemic. People spoke of the need to implement United Nations plans to abolish all nuclear weapons, though President Abe feels it is the wrong approach in line with the United States and Russia. NHK Japan.
People in Japan are taking a moment to pause and remember the victims of the atomic bombing 75 years ago. While following safety measures in place for the coronavirus, the pandemic has not prevented people from reflecting on the tragedy and praying for world peace.
When you think about that time, it's tragic and cruel. This kind of tragedy should never happen again.
My parents are survivors. I've come here to tell victims that I never forget them, even though I haven't been able to do anything to abolish nuclear weapons.
About 800 people attended the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Ceremony, including survivors of the bombing known as Hibakusha. They're getting older, with their average age now over 83. Representatives of about 80 countries were also there. Due to the pandemic, the number of people attending the event were limited to less than one-tenth of the usual. Hiroshima Mayor Matsui Kazumi placed a list of the victims in a cenotaph. It includes the names of 4,943 survivors who died over the past year. 324,129 people are now commemorated in the monument. The city fell silent at 8:15 a.m., the exact moment when the U.S. bomb struck the city. In his peace declaration, the mayor urged world leaders to work toward a security system that does not rely on nuclear weapons.
to enhance its role as a mediator between the nuclear weapon and non-nuclear weapon states. I asked the Japanese government to heed the appeal of the Hibakusha that it sign and ratify and become a party to the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. As the only nation to suffer a nuclear attack, Japan must persuade the global public to unite with the spirit of Hiroshima.
Nuclear powers like the U.S. and Russia do not support the treaty, and Japan, which relies on nuclear protection from the U.S., has not signed it. Prime Minister Abe Shinzo has maintained Japan will not join the U.N. treaty. He has said the treaty's goal of nuclear abolishment is the same as Japan's, but their approaches are different.
Our nation will serve as a bridge between countries that take different stands and persist in urging dialogue and prompting them into action. By doing so, we will lead efforts made by the global community to realize a world without nuclear weapons.
He said Japan will work to make the next review conference of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty a significant one. The meeting was due to be held in April, but postponed to next year due to the coronavirus pandemic. A local high school choir brought the ceremony to a close with a song calling for peace. An anti-nuclear group is holding its annual world conference online this year due to the pandemic. The Japan Council Against Atomic and Hydrogen Bombs hosts a conference every year in August, in the month in which atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki 75 years ago. A-bomb survivors and representatives of peace movement groups around the world are taking part in the conference.
The pain of survivors is severe and never goes away. We will continue to call for the abolition of nuclear weapons and spend the time that we have left to work toward that goal with people around the world.
Another Hiroshima A-bomb survivor, 88-year-old Setsuko Thurlow, who now lives in Canada, said she had sent letters to national leaders urging them to support enforcement of the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons.
Japan, which has experienced atomic bombings, carries special moral responsibility and should lead the movement to abolish nuclear weapons.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan. They are now heard from 9:30 to 10 p.m. at 5975-7245 and 11970, or on the web anytime at www.3.nhk.or.jp. All the times I announce are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast, get a global perspective. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 24th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. This Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.